We're now on part six of a seven-part study that we just kind of pulled together as we are going through the book of Colossians. And so we went all the way through three, four, five verses at a time. But when we came to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, we slowed down, and the reason why, because it speaks about husbands once again loving your wives and not provoking your children. And so we did a study on husbands. And then it speaks about wives submitting to their husbands. And we did a study on that, and once again, it was a difficult time, but an important time that we understand what God wants us to do as ladies. And then we spoke about teenagers or children obeying your parents. And we gave them four important things to remember. And then we took a look at what it is to be a parent. And I gave you 10 things to go home and ask your children if those are the things you're doing. One of the brothers called me up and said, I did it. It was pretty frightening, but I'm doing okay. And those are important. And then we took a look tonight on the area of being a servant. Or, as in that day that Paul was writing, it would be to the slaves. And one of the important things you need to remember that during the Roman Empire, there were over 60 million slaves. About half the population, 120 million people, but half of them were slaves. And so Paul brings this word to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit gives tremendous insight on how we're to live our life, more probably than anything else. That we're to do it with a singleness of mind, and our hearts are to be sincere. Someone once asked, how many people are working in your office? And he replied, about half of them. And that is so true. I read in one of the books, The Day America Told the Truth, only one-tenth, one out of ten Americans are satisfied with their job. And then the report came back, only one out of four give their very best. And so when you look at the workplace, it becomes really the battlefield, because we go into it so negative, and we can't wait to get out of it. So when we get to Friday, we can't wait to get out of it. And when we finally come to Sunday night, we're dreading getting up and going back. And it's unfortunate that we think that way. And so tonight, I want to challenge you on the way that you should think. God said that you're to go out and bear the gospel. He said that you're to go out and share the good news. So God is leading you into the place that you are working. That is your mission field. The wonderful thing is God's paying you to do it. Because the Bible says that God knows what you have need of before you even ask. And so tonight, I think if we could understand the purpose, that really work should be a type of worship within our life. That our life should be so powerfully a witness that people would come to Christ. And I think of Daniel, how that he was able to go from different kingdoms to different kingdoms because he had a work ethic. He had ethics within his life. And so we see, once again, that the opportunity is before us. And we are to make the very best of that opportunity. When we hire people here, it's amazing that they don't understand the importance of what it is to work. And so tonight, as we lay down some simple things, I think that maybe it might help us in a very wonderful way to begin to see the importance of the word. I came across this interesting poem, Do I Hate Little Things? Father, where shall I work today, and my love flow warm and free? Then he pointed me over to a tiny spot and said, then, that's for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why no one will ever see me? No matter how well my work was done, not that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it was not stern. He answered me tenderly, oh little one, search the heart of thine. Art thou working for me or for you? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. So God looks upon the heart, the little things in our life. And so every time we go to work, the question is what type of a witness do we have? Are we a reflection of Jesus Christ? And there's not really that importance of our life to be doing things, but it's to be living before the Lord. So Paul now says in Colossians 3:22, "Servants, obey in all things your master, according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers," and underline that word man-pleasers, "but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons." So here, the slaves were being ministered to. 60 million. The way you became a slave is either you were born into a family that were slaves, and so you, mom and dad, were slaves, and so when you were born, you did not belong to the family. You belonged to the one that was the owner of your life. So a slave, back in those days, had no rights. Even if they had children, they became the property of the owner. An owner could kill a slave at any time. He could sell a slave at any time. And he could even make a slave. So the law there in that day was tremendously against the slaves. And so many were killed. Many were traded. Or if you were taken in battle, you would become a slave. Or if your mom and dad didn't have enough money, they could sell their own children. And we see that in the book of Nehemiah, how they were selling their own children. And Nehemiah became angered at the elders of Israel. And once again he said, "Go get them back, because they are your children, and we will trust God." So there were many ways that they could become slaves. But once you became a slave, 60 million strong, then they had no right to even speak. So when Christianity came into the society, it began to free so many people, not physically, spiritually. And they desired to be free physically, no longer being slaves, but Jesus Christ did not come to change the politics of the world. He came to deal with sin. And Paul did not come to deal with politics. He came to deal with the inner man of a person. And so Paul now is laying out very simply, these are the areas that you are to live. And so some were teachers. Kind of interesting. The slaves became teachers. They became physicians. They became lawyers. You remember Joseph in Potiphar's house became a ruler within the home. They were tremendously powerful, yet they had no authority whatsoever. And so the Roman people didn't want to do certain things, so the slaves were taught how to do them. And some of them were extremely brilliant people, the slaves. And so we come now to that place in Corinthians chapter 7. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. In other words, if someone wants to buy you and sets you free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, the Lord has now set you free from the awful power of sin. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave unto Christ. God purchased you at a high price. Don't be enslaved by the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, whatever situation we're in, when you became a believer, stay there in your new relationship with God. Now that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21. Because they were seeking to get out. They were seeking no longer to be faithful in the place that they were in. And Paul is saying that Christ desires them to stay where they are. If God miraculously sets them free, then go for it. But if everyone begins to move and move away from the certain calling upon our life, then nothing's going to be done. And so here we find that there were many that were being saved, and they were now going to affect the masters in which they live. You remember Philemon was a slave owner, and Onesimus ran away. And there Onesimus got saved through Paul's ministry. And Paul sent him back to Philemon, saying that he is now a brother, receive him as one, and if he had caused you any hurt, lay it to my account. So there was not releasing of the slaves. There was a kind of a desire that they would come to know the power of God within their life. And of course, now we don't have it, and that's a wonderful thing, but you can just begin to apply employees and employers in an interesting way. I want to share four things with you. Number one, are you obeying thoroughly? Number one, are you obeying thoroughly at your job? In verse 22. So if you're taking notes, just jot down, are you obeying thoroughly in verse 22? Then in verse 23, are you obeying joyfully? Are you obeying joyfully within your life? Then in verse 24, are you obeying righteously? Are you obeying righteously in verse 24? And then lastly, in verse 25, are you obeying fearfully? So we want to take a look at these four areas. I want to challenge your heart in a very strong way this evening. Because the sad situation often arises that Christians have been the poorest witness around. Many business people will never hire a Christian because they're lazy and they don't have ethics within their life. And they don't understand what it is to work hard. They want to be treated differently. And the tragic thing is finally, when a Christian gets a job with a friend, he takes advantage of the friend. When in reality, he ought to be doing better than even asked. So if work is not a time of worship within my life, if I don't see myself working for Jesus Christ, it's never going to work in my life. Now the people here and staff, yes, they work for me, but ultimately we all work for God. So if I'm gone, they still are going to have to answer to God. Though they can say, hey, the cat's away, the mice are going to play, there's a great lion looking down at them. And they're going to be dealt with according to that relationship they have with God. And if I understand that I'm to be thorough in my work, if I'm to be joyful in the things that God is doing, if I'm to be righteous in all my activities and I'm to fear the Lord, then it will change the way I go to work very early in the morning. So let's take a look at these in verse 22. Obey them thoroughly. Servants, obey in all things your master. All things, underline that. According to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That verse is packed with tremendous insight. The first thing I realize is you need to recognize the place of authority in verse 22. In other words, you must come to understand that you are working under someone and that person is over you. So you must understand and recognize the authority over your life. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, tough. Because every man has someone over him. And no man can have what they want until they understand that someone is over them. I'm over the staff, but God's over me, and God's over the church. And so we have people over us, and we have people under us. So I'm a man with authority, and when I speak, they do. But when God speaks, do I do? And that's the issue. And so I recognize that God's authority is ever in my life. So if you go to work and you constantly fight and constantly become bitter at your boss, you're out of God's will. You see, God wants you to recognize your boss as one having authority. But see, if he's a jerk, doesn't make a difference. You're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And you need to live by the value of the Word of God. And through your witness, you're going to win him to Jesus Christ. And so very few bosses come to Christ because there are very few men who are willing and women to set the example at any price. Daniel went through Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. He went through Belshazzar's kingdom. And he was one that people came searching because he was a man of great integrity within his life. And so it's important that I come to realize and recognize, number one, that place of authority. Also, I need to realize, I need to refuse to work with a wrong motive. It says here, once again, serving or servants obey in all things your master according to the flesh. Number two, not with eye service as man pleasers. So in other words, my motive needs to be pure. If my motive is not right, then I'm doing it to please man. I'm looking to be praised and have adoration about my life. I don't understand that God stands behind my boss, and so I'm looking to be praised and honored and everything else. So my motive is not right for being at work. So when a person comes on staff here, what is the motive? Well, one day we're going to take over the pulpit. Well, good, you can take it. But the motive needs to be, I'm here to serve God, period. And whatever God does in my life is great. I think of Philip. He was faithful washing dishes. And because he was faithful tending the table, God gave him the ability to become an evangelist and do a tremendous work there in that area that he was working. And so God raised him up. Promotion cometh not from the east nor from the west, but from the Lord. And if you desire to be promoted, if you desire to become a vice president, if you desire to have these things, then God is going to lay certain things before you that you need to be found faithful in. And if I don't recognize authority, and I don't realize the danger of a wrong motive, I'm going to kill myself in a horrible way. And then the third thing I find also in verse 22 is not only to refuse wrong motive, but also to respond with a right attitude. He says once again in singleness, or the word sincerity, or the word without wax. So three things stand out to me in verse 22. That I am to recognize authority. Number two, I am to refuse wrong motives. And number three, I am to respond with the right attitude. I'm not to walk around and just throw my hair. I don't have any hair, but throw my hair and smack my lips and have an attitude. You know what I'm talking about when your kids get an attitude. They just hang their head and look at you. And they're staring at you like they can kill you, but they can't. And so when your boss tells you to go down and grab lunch, oh, God, man, guy's lazy. No, he's your boss. Do it. Well, I just don't think that's right. Then quit. But you came on to join that business, and God wants you to understand that as long as you are there, you are under that authority. The only time that you can break it is when he will desire you to lie or desire you to deny the Lord or have you go contrary to the word of God. Then you have one greater, and that is Jesus Christ. But if God is seeking to break my life, then oftentimes my boss will ask me to do different things. And it might be typing something at 4:30 or 4:15, and you want to get out of there by 4:30. And you cop an attitude, and he sees that. Well, that's not what God wants. God desires that you are so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that you are able to govern your life and do the job that God's called you to do. So recognize the authority. Don't fight it. You're going to struggle with this for the rest of your life. You're going to be under your husband, or you're going to be over your children, or you're going to be under God. Recognize authority. Secondly, refuse wrong motives. Don't do this thing because of everyone else. Do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then do it once again and respond with the right attitude. Because once again, it says, very crystal clear, in verse 22, he says, servants, obey. And the word obey means to listen under. It means to pay attention. Listen, all things your master, according to the flesh, those who are employees or employers over you. Not with eye service, not seeking to draw attention when your boss walks in as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So the question I have for you and I this morning, or this evening I should say, is are we going to hit work tomorrow with a new attitude? Am I going to go to work desiring to be obedient thoroughly within my life? Not just a portion, but thoroughly within my life. We hire people here, we tell them what they have to do, and then they don't do it. And they tell us that we're unfair, and we're saying, all we want you to do is vacuum the right way, or do this or do that, and you are challenging authority. There's a right way to do things, there's a wrong way to do things. So you have come under this authority, you're going to learn to do it the right way. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, then either you quit, or we're going to fire you. You see, the problem is that there's not a humility to help me to learn. I just want the big things right away. I'm not thorough in my obedience. Secondly, he mentioned very crystal clear in verse 23, obey them joyfully. I like this. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. Now, did you pick that up? You're to do everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Check this out. You're to wash dishes for Jesus Christ. You're to go to work for the glory of God. You're to put the trash out for the glory of God. Everything you are doing is for the glory of God. Oh, Stephen, give me a break. No. The Bible says whatever you do, do it for the Lord. If you're picking up cigarette butts out in the parking lot and you're complaining, stop doing it. Because if you're going to pick them up, you got to do it with joy. Well, praise God, I hate the cigarette, but I'm doing it for Jesus. Big smile on your face. But if you're walking around and pouting and whining because you got to pick up a cigarette butt, people are going to see that, is that what it means to serve God? I don't want it. And many have turned away from serving God because of my attitude or my mood in my life. And so, secondly, am I obeying joyfully in my life? You don't understand the job I have, okay? You don't understand the boss I have, okay? But you don't understand that behind that boss is Jesus Christ. And behind that job is Jesus Christ. Moses saw through the situation and saw God. And God is asking you to look through a situation, gain the strength, and be able to have joy in your heart that no one can ever touch. If you get bummed out, it's only because you took your eyes off of Christ. It's not because I bummed you out, or someone else bummed you out, or you're having a bad day. You are refusing to look to the answer of your life, who is the one that has the power to raise the dead. Christ is able to put joy into your heart. But if you go to work and you're constantly criticizing, you look at your boss because he's dumb, doesn't know how to do it. I hope my staff doesn't think that. And all of a sudden he can't do this and he can't do that. And all of a sudden you look at me, you're going to see imperfection. You're going to see short areas within my life. But if you look through me and see God, you're going to be working for God and you won't be working for me. And if you're working for God, you're going to do the job and you're going to do it better than working for me. So everyone on staff should be what? Working for God. You ought to be working for God. You got to check your heart in a very powerful way. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them, one book over to the left. Servants, be obedient, chapter 6, verse 5, to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart as unto the Lord. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Doing the will of God from the heart. So you might be flipping hamburgers at In-N-Out, but you've got to do it for the glory of God. You might be putting milk on the table, but you got to do it for the glory of God. You might not want to do it for your husband. You might not want to do it for your boss. You might not want to do it for yourself. But you've got to do it because it's God's will that you need to be obedient in your heart and do it for the glory of God. So whatever you do, do for the glory of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so here he goes on to strengthen that position, that not only am I to serve with joy, but I'm to serve thoroughly within my life. In Colossians 3:17, he says, and whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and our Father. So when Kevin puts together the song sheets, he's not doing it for you. He's doing it for the kingdom of God. When I prepare a message, I'm doing it for the kingdom of God. And there's no difference, check this out, for me preparing a Bible study and for me ministering to your heart or for me taking out the trash or for me checking on the building next door. Because it's all for God. And the question is, will I do it with joy in my heart? Number 3, we find in verse 24, obey them righteously, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive of the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. And so here he is describing what it is to be faithful. Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice the Lord Christ in verse 24. Then once again, notice the word Lord in verse 23. So when I go to work, when I do jobs on the side, when I'm occupying my life at home, when I'm going out to the movies, I need to do it for the glory of God. And I dare not be brought under the bondage of anything. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the bondage of anything. So this is a choice that I must make. If I'm going to be righteous in my life, then I'm going to work for the glory of God. Now, one of the incredible things about Daniel, he was taken, you remember, and was used in such a powerful way in the kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. He was able to interpret dreams and he was placed over everyone. But you remember that when that was taken over by Belshazzar, Daniel was out of the picture. And if you put the things together, no one called on Daniel for 20 years. No one needed Daniel. But when all of a sudden the handwriting came on the wall, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsis, then we find that they said there's a man in the kingdom that's able to interpret dreams and visions. And he said, who is this man? He said, it's Daniel. Do you want us to get him? They said, go get Daniel. And Daniel came in and said once again, this is the interpretation, and you will die tonight. And so we find that during those 20 years, Daniel did not jeopardize his Christian walk. He was still right with God, because if he wasn't, God would have never called him. So this is deeper than your work. It's deeper than the church. This is a responsibility that you have before God to give your very best for the kingdom of God. That means you need to give God the very best of your health, give God the very best of your income, give God the very best of your mind. In other words, you are a steward of God. You're saying, well, Steve, I've come to church and you're telling me about work. Yes, because God is very concerned about the way that we go to work. That is our mission field, and no one is going to get saved the way that we work in our lives. When I become a great example, when I become a man filled with passion and purpose and a desire to go in, that I don't become complacent, that I don't begin to take the back seat, I don't come in late, I don't leave early. And those are the things that drive me crazy. Because if you're going to do it at work, then that's fine, but don't do it at church. In other words, we need to be on time. We need to be good stewards of our life. And when we are running behind because we're slothful, then the Bible says that we're not going to have. The Bible says in Proverbs, the soul of the diligent is made fat, but the soul of the sluggard desires and have nothing. So I desire, but I don't want to work. And I desire to go up in my life, but I don't want to pay the price. If you desire to go up, you're going to pay the price. You're going to have to give your life. You're going to have to do this thing for the glory of God. You're going to have to flip hamburgers better than anyone at In-N-Out. There's going to be something about your hamburgers that when people bite them, they're going to start speaking in tongues or something. I mean, something's going to happen. And your boss is going to walk in and you're going to have a smile. Wow, praise God, bam, bam, bam. And you're just having a great time. And all of a sudden he thinks, you know, I'd like to have that guy in my leadership. And so all of a sudden you go from $9 to $14 and now you're over it. Now you have a desire. You want to have everybody happy. And so you begin to go forth. And that's an exciting thing. You say, yeah, I can see it. Well, here's what people see. I can't believe it. I've got to make this hamburger. Well, I hate this place. I hate this. My whole world's against me. I'm making $9 an hour. Well, they say, and then you turn around and say, oh, man, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, like, right. Like, I don't want you. You know, you are so depressed and so out of it and so weird and so insecure and so babbling, and you have nothing good to say about anybody else, and you're constantly gossiping, and you don't get here on time, and you leave early, and you cheat on your boss. You tell me you're a Christian. Yeah. Well, I don't believe it, because you showed me how you were, and I'll tell you that you're a born-again Christian, because you will be the very best in your life. And this generation does not believe in excellence. And I'm telling you, when you become excellent in your marriage or in your single life, why in the world are single people going to bed faster than anything else? Because they have lost the standard in their life and they do not believe in their life having ethics and a standard and excellence. They're giving it up. And they're giving it up to a guy that doesn't even care about them. And I'm saying that in this world in which I live, I'm going to answer one day for everything I do. And though my judgment has been taken away at Calvary, I will answer for my words, for the way I ran the church, for my stewardship over my wife, and we call that the Abema seat. And some are going to be wood, hay, and stubble, just burnt. We'll be looking at you, and you'll be smoking all over the place, and we'll say, what happened? Well, you know, I didn't do very well down there. And then there's going to be others, you know, kind of like those cartoons of, you know, Bugs Bunny just fried. And then there's going to be others that are going to be gold and silver and just precious stone. You're going to say, well, why, what happened with them? Well, they carried the trash out for the glory of God. They helped a person out to the car for the glory of God. They did it for me. And so I want to challenge you that whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Then you won't cheat. Then you will never lower your standard. Then excellence will be part of your life because Christ gave it all. He came to do the work of the Father. And so we find that they were to enjoy, obey joyfully. And then thirdly, they were to obey righteously. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, you who are slaves must accept the authority of your master. Do whatever they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are harsh. For God is pleased with you when you, for the sake of your conscience, you patiently endure unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing right and are patient beneath the blows, God is pleased with you. This suffering is all part of what God has called you to Christ, who suffered for you to set you an example that you would follow in a step. Now, if I'm going to do this thing right, Sunday morning when I come to church, I'm going to come as though Christ was going to the cross. That's my example. How did he go to the cross? With joy in his heart. How am I going to come to the pulpit? With joy in my heart. When I get out of the pulpit, what am I going to do? I'm going to come out of the upper room the way he came out of the upper room. He came out of the upper room singing the Hallels, praising God. I need to come out of the pulpit praising God. I need to go into the garden rejoicing, Father, if there be any other way, Let it pass. I need to go into my home having joy in my heart. In other words, if Jesus did it, God the Holy Spirit has given me an example that I'm to follow. And so it's a challenge. And lastly, obey them fearfully in verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. In other words, unfaithful service. It will be judged because God is not a respecter of persons. You remember it says that God gave this man just a special thing to do. And he said that he was going to return one day and receive it. Well, finally he came back and the man did not take responsibility over the owner's property. And Jesus Christ said that he was an unfaithful servant. He took away the very thing that the man had. Now, I believe with all my heart that if I don't do the pulpit right, if I don't run the church right, that God has someone standing in the way, in the wings, to take it over. So I cannot come to the pulpit or into my marriage or into my relationship and have this flippant attitude. In other words, if we're going to have a church, we want a nice-looking church. If we're going to have carpet, we want it clean. If we're going to have bathrooms, we want them clean. In other words, whatever we do it for the glory of God. We take our time. There's excellence in what we do. We don't waste God's money because we're too impatient to do it right the first time. So I take time with people. I minister to them. I listen to them as you do. And then I realize that I'm to do it with fearfulness in my heart. To do no wrong. In other words, less sometimes is not the very best. You know, I could have done it better. And so many of us are running on six cylinders when we have eight. And that's a sin. If God has given you eight cylinders, run on eight cylinders. Well, no one else is. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. Well, I only have four cylinders, then run on four cylinders. In other words, whatever God has given to you, do it for the glory of God. Well, what about him? No. Who are you working for? Jesus Christ. Who are you going to answer to? Jesus Christ. Who are you going to stand before? Jesus Christ. So when I come to this concept, it changes everything. Okay, time out. Then what you're saying is when I go to work tomorrow, I'm to go to work with an attitude that I'm going to be as thorough and as diligent and a steward and get my things together, make my phone calls, return my phone calls, clean my desk, and have it together. Yes. Oh, man. Is that communism or what? You're kidding. No. In other words, you're going to be productive. This man's paying you. You are to give him 110%. You are to be productive. If you don't give him 110%, you are robbing God. You think, oh man, you bring God in this? Absolutely. If you come on staff and you're goofing off, talking too much, you are robbing God. Because you are paying their bills. Now, do you want them talking or you want them working? You tell me. Talking or working? How many working? Talking. How many want them working? Raise your hand. Well, if I don't show up, if I don't do what God calls me to, you're not going to come and you're not going to give. So the money that God's given us, we got to be good stewards of it. So there are times that we look out, we say, well, he's not representing what we want. In other words, we need to give the very best. And so, again, I don't go out Saturday night. And the reason why is because when I come Sunday morning, I want to give you the very best. So it takes discipline. I want to go out. I want to do things, but I can't. Because this is what God's going to have me do. So, am I going to be thorough tomorrow? Second, am I going to be joyful? In other words, am I going to make a decision to hit that door, walk on the carpet, walk into the thing, no matter who's there, with the joy of Jesus in my heart? The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Joy. Well, I can. I don't like where I work. Did God put you there? Well, yeah. Then look through that and see Christ on the other end. And when you're faithful, God will move you on. Joy. And then thirdly, very simply, thirdly, obey righteously. In other words, not with wrong motives or unproductiveness. In other words, you're going to be righteous, which means integrity, accountability, honesty. You're going to live for the glory of God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So there was a moment that Daniel stood against all the authority because it was a violation to his God. But he didn't do it with a nasty attitude. He did it with absolute respect, helping them understand the conviction within his heart. And boy, you do that, it's great. And lastly, you need to understand tomorrow that you fear God. Because no matter what they do, or how they treat you, or what's going on, I tell you what, if God wants you to have a raise, God will wake that guy up and beat him up and get you a raise. Do you believe that? So now tell me, who are you really working for? And maybe God is holding you back because you've been unfaithful where you've been. So maybe the mission field, we ought to hit it because that's where evangelism and people are saved. In the workplace. Father, we ask that you would give us strength. That, Lord, I know this has been difficult, but it needs to be said. In my own life, I'm so convicted. There are things that I can do even better. Lord, even be more disciplined. And it has nothing to do with legalism. It has everything to do with stewardship. That God, that you have entrusted the ministry to us. And we are to be faithful in all the things that you've given to us. And Lord, when you give us a friend, we're to be faithful with that friend. And Lord, when you give us a spouse, we're to be faithful with that spouse. And Lord, when you take them away, Lord, we are to be faithful to you. And when we don't understand, we are to be faithful. And all that we do, in word or deed, we do all for the glory of God. So I pray that you would change our hearts. That God, that you would remind us that you see. That you're a God that will not let us go unseen. That as we please you, then, Lord, we will be blessed. And the blessing will come through people. And they will feel that they've done it. But we will know in our hearts that, God, that you have rewarded us for our faithfulness. So, God, take this church. Take these folks. Lord, give them a whole new understanding of what it means to go out into the workplace, to the marketplace, and be the example that you want them to be. God, let people come to them and ask them, why are you changing? What happened to you? Why is there a joy? And may we say, because I'm working for the Lord, for the kingdom of God. Father, may you open doors that we might share, and we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?